Beginning tonight in 1 John 5, the 10th verse. He who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. He who does not believe, God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne to his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son of God has not life. Over in the 20th verse, let me read this. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding to know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Tonight we want to continue on in this area of relationship. I trust that last week it provoked your thinking into coming up with some understanding and some expression in your own heart of what you expect out of a relationship. What is expected out of you in a relationship. There's one thing as far as our personal relationship with Christ, because today we have a head knowledge about God, but we have very few that have a personal, and you need to define what that is, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They have it in words because they have taken certain steps of belief, which is a act of their minds, a mental consent to who he is and what he has done. But unless we go on in and have a personal relationship with God, what does that mean to you? That does not mean that you have a devotional time. It does not mean that you have a prayer time. It means that you have a personal relationship with God. There is a communion with God on your behalf. Not only you communing with God, but God communing with you. There has to be that personal relationship with God. This is the only thing that motivates each one of us into action. Now, what action are we talking about? We're talking about the God's building in us, conforming us to his image, making us in every expression like he is. And this can only happen if there is a personal relationship. So we'd like to take that word and take it out of just our normal vocabulary and let God give it meaning to us. A personal relationship. I must be in contact with God in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if I'm not, all of this other has no meaning. I cannot just float along. This is a relationship. Salvation is a relationship, and out of a relationship comes fellowship. We look for something that causes us to move in this direction. The only thing that's going to motivate you is a personal relationship. That's the only thing that is going to motivate you into obedience. The only thing that's going to motivate me into obedience. And that's not to a set of rules. We're talking about obedience unto the Lord. That's why only a personal relationship with him is going to take and motivate you. It's going to cause you to move. It's going to cause you to respond. Because if we're not responding to God, then we have nothing more than a religion. And that has no value to you. It has no meaning to you. These verses that we've read here tonight, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. We can only have understanding as the Holy Spirit makes this relationship with God real. Now, what does it mean as far as a relationship, a personal relationship with Christ? What does that mean to us? know, you can talk. And what does it mean to you?
To me, it means a love relationship.
Okay, but what does that mean? Because that's merely a term that classifies the relationship. What does that relationship mean?
Security or a friendship or...
It could mean security, yes, that's true.
Peace.
Share feelings, share our ideas, or confident.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely going to be God, Jesus Christ, revealing himself and sharing all that he is to us. That's what's going to happen in a relationship. The thing is that we're looking at here tonight also that what is motivating us? And the only thing that can motivate us is the love of God. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that we can see love, if we say we are born of God, then we're going to keep his commandments. Now this is living expression of life. This is not just a set of rules. I think many times this is what we run into and think that if we do certain things and keep certain rules, that everything is all right. In other words, if we don't do this sin or we don't do this sin, one day we will be in heaven. This takes it completely out of the realm of this personal relationship that Jesus Christ came to give us. He came to give us life. Eternal life is to know, to experience God on a daily basis. Personal relationship is the only thing that can allow you to experience God. Sometimes we grow lazy, kind of indifferent to it. Things come in and steal our time, and we don't really take the time on a daily basis to know God and what we're doing, the direction that we're going. Everything must flow out of this relationship. I think we all know this, don't we, tonight, that everything must flow out of our relationship with Christ. Everything. Mm-hmm. We can do nothing separate from him. It's all in union with him. And, of course, if we're talking about a personal relationship with God, then we're going to have to come to some understanding what union really is all about. What our union with God means. And of course, he has taken the initiative, Christ has, and given us the promise. In other words, he has deposited within us. We know these things because he has given to us of his spirit. John tells us this also over in the 3rd and 4th chapter of John. We know these things. We know we're born of God because he has given us his spirit. So he has taken the initiative to bring this relationship into a place to where we're going to respond. Now, God's interested in one thing. He's interested in building in each one of us himself. We're not so much interested in that because it doesn't seem to impress us. It doesn't seem to motivate the buds of love that we think should be doing. We think that we should just be kind of brought in and everything should be lovely. But God's interested in one thing. Building character in you. Now, what does that mean also? What does it mean to have character? Because character, really, and bottom line, is who you are. Who you are. Well, God's interested in building in you himself. In other words, he's going to build character in you. And if there's anything that you need, it is the motivation to respond to him. And that's what personal relationship gives. In other words, you can say, yes, I love God, but in the personal relationship, he's going to take and the love is going to become so real to you. His awareness of your condition, where you're at, what's your needs, that you're going to lose all consciousness of these things and you're only going to be motivated by him. You're going to be motivated by everything that he is. And that's going to bring you to a place of obedience. Spontaneous obedience. Because it's going to be born out of love. Love doesn't hesitate. It doesn't move without understanding either. But if you're in a personal relationship with God, there is a basis of understanding that is taking place in each one of our lives. Then we come up to other places in our wanting to know, because we're looking for spiritual wisdom. We're looking for spiritual knowledge. It's different than just going to the knowledge of the world. We're talking about knowing God. Everything that's attached to a spiritual working that's referred to it is attached to God, because everything that God is doing is spiritual. And if we're going to take and know the love of God, we're going to talk about a spiritual work in us. Anytime you feel that you're being forced or you're being pressured, you don't know anything about the love of God. You've lost that love. You've lost that first love. God doesn't pressure us. I think sometimes we think He does. We think because of the commandments and all of these other things, because we get the wrong concept. We do not understand what grace is. Grace is purely everything God working on our behalf. That's what grace is all about. Not what we can do. Nothing. You can't do anything to deserve this. But now He brings us into a relationship, and this is not only done on a basis of you're there and He's here. He comes to abide within. Glory? I think a lot of times, even our terminology that we use, we refer to God out there, and we're looking for Him to help us. And that's not what it's all about. Because the Scriptures are very clear that He says that if you've been born of God, you are joint heirs with Christ. You have been brought into the family of God. Let's look over at Romans for just a minute. Romans 8. Let me just read a very familiar verse and go right on down to Mary 14. Romans 8:14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For we did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but we have received the spirit of sonship. Come on, you've come into the family of God. Now, because our outlook, as far as family is concerned, our concepts, we do not really allow ourselves to even hope for the ultimate. Right? But He continues to work. If we're in a personal relationship with God, He continues to work on our behalf to do what? To let us know who we are. Mm-hmm. That you are a son. That's what He says here. The spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit Himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Relationship brings you into the fullness of all that that means. And that cannot be without fellowship. In fact, I think a lot of people split relationship and fellowship. But in the spiritual, time together. Time together, don't let them get apart. Relationship and fellowship are together when it comes to our personal relationship with God. If we're not walking in the light, then we're not going to have fellowship. And if we're not having fellowship, there's a reason for not having fellowship. It's because we have either sinned, and that doesn't mean some awful sin. It can be a sin of unbelief. It can be a sin of going your own way and not really believing God. That's why personal relationship with God is the only thing that can continue to keep us motivated. Now, maybe you don't think you need to be motivated. That's what love is all about. Mm-hmm. But if there's no personal relationship, that's why as we continue to go on and look at this thing, you start to see the importance of what personal relationship is all about. He laid down his life to give us his life. He tells us, Paul tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye conformed by the renewing of your mind. We've already talked about that. The whole change of the way you look at things. Start to look at things from his standpoint. Whether it's I am a member of the family. Now, let me state this to us. This is not just assuming certain things or making certain statements of fact. This is born out of the reality of a true personal relationship with Christ. That's the only thing that is going to take and bring us to a place to where we are expressing Him, and it's the only place that's going to open up relationship and fellowship with others. Without the first beginning, there will be none of the second. You can substitute coming and liking somebody and fellowshipping things, ideals, concepts. We're talking about life. We're not talking about these other things. Because many are looking at other things. We're talking about the personal relationship with God. That's why today, as you look around you, it shocks you, really, to see that when somebody really comes in contact with the living God, they're made alive unto God, and they start to experience God, and God starts to move in their life. What are the religious system wants to get rid of them. And yet they preach personal relationship. We're talking about a personal relationship with God, to where you are moved by the power of God, by the love of God. You're not moved by the other aspects that motivates the natural man. We're motivated by a higher working. And so it has to come out of our relationship and our personal relationship with God. It's got to be more than talk. Got to be more than talk. Because if all we're doing is talking about it, I know that it's not happening. A lot of times we like to get together and talk about maybe sometimes what we understand of the Scriptures. Fellowship is born out of experiencing God. And it's fellowship is born out of you experiencing God back there, right behind you. You've already experienced God. Because if you haven't experienced God, there's no fellowship here. It's not just fellowshipping to know God. It's fellowshipping because we are experiencing God. Because we do know Him. It doesn't mean that we have attained, because we press on. We press on to know Him. We want to know the power of His resurrection, the power that brought Him out of the grave. We desire this, the same as Paul. And the reason I say the same as Paul is because the same Spirit that was in Paul is the same Spirit that's come to abide within us. He is the one that kindles this working in our hearts to bring us into this personal relationship with Him. What is eternal life? To know God, to experience God. No, don't slide back into something to say, well, I know that God loves me. Now, there's a knowing, but see, there is an experiencing of this love. It's not what God did yesterday, it's what God is doing today. God is ever-present. Now. So many times we're looking at our past experience. Wonderful. They can teach us some things. They can keep us from error today. But nothing substitutes for now. Our experiencing today. And I don't care sometimes how difficult it is we're going through. God hasn't left us. If this was going to be easy, we wouldn't need God. We could do it on our own. But what God is showing us, that He is everything, and we need Him even to walk through this world and with the wickedness on every side that there is. And don't think that wickedness is clothed in white raiment. So don't be deceived. You can only know this as the Holy Spirit in your relationship with God quickens and makes it alive. He doesn't reveal it to you to become hard and indifferent to this. He reveals it to you to let you know the sweetness of what He is doing. Loaded?
Amen.
How many of you realize that there is something that motivates you? That spurs you on, that works in you the will to do?
It's life.
It's life. It's Christ. In other words, he that has a son has life. We're talking about God now. We're not talking about a force. We're talking about God. We're talking about that which comes in and makes you what you could not make yourself. And so you don't try to do anything. You come to the end of yourself. I can do nothing separate from him. He is everything. We were dead. Some of us don't realize that. Paul acknowledged that he had died with Christ. Why did Christ die? He died to everything that we were, so that he could be resurrected and give us everything that God had designed for us. And even though I don't think we put the emphasis where it should be, and the emphasis that I'm talking about is our devotion, our exaltation, our worship of him, our reverence of him. I don't think we put it there because we do not fully recognize. Because if you recognize, then you're going to start to take and give him his rightful place in your life. You are together. You're not separate. How many times have I said, never consider yourself separate from Christ? And yet I see all the time, even in the way we talk and the way we talk about certain things, we're considering him separate from us. He's not separate from us if we have been born of the Spirit of God. If he has made us alive, we have been brought into the family of God. We have received the Spirit of sonship. Tremendous. Tremendous working of God. Sometimes I think that this is just we think it's just in doctrine. But if we go on to experience God, we're going to know his doctrine. We're going to know what his teaching is. But nothing suffices for our experiencing God for ourselves. As a son. Relationship with a son. We're hindered because we try to relate this to earthly parents. As good as they may be, it comes way short of telling us about the love of our Heavenly Father and what he has done for us in bringing us back into the family of God. See, it's hard for us to realize how far we have fallen. Man has fallen. We think there's some good in us. There's no good in us. And that's why we were dead and did not know it. We think because we're breathing that, you know, everything's all right. But when God starts to show us that we can do nothing of ourselves, that it's a new life that he's given, then this is the area that spurs us on to know him. And that's what relationship is all about, knowing God, experiencing God. Getting to know him. Getting to experience in every area. Getting to know the wisdom of God. Waiting on the wisdom of God. We're so prone to move on into our own selves. You know this. We think that because we have experienced something yesterday, we know how it's going to work today. No, you do not. You'll find out that you fall short of it. Because you do not wait upon him and know him today. Because he's brand new. It's a new working today. He worked yesterday, yes. But if you're counting on what he did yesterday for today, something's wrong. We need to experience him today. I don't care what our situation is. Just don't worry about that, because a lot of times we look at our situation and that's a hindrance to us, because we think, well, God's not working. God has never stopped working. Mm-hmm. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care how depressed you may think you are. God is able to lift us right out of that. And that personal relationship with him, you'll see that it overcomes these areas, because faith overcomes. Is that not right? Mm-hmm. Faith overcomes everything that this world can throw against it. It's been proven. This is not just words that we read in the book. This has been proven that faith overcomes everything. It overcomes the world. Because faith lives in Christ. It lives out of His resources. Because He is within. He is your life. And faith makes that available to you and allows it to manifest in you. Now, if you're dependent on your minds, then you're having trouble. If you're depending on your feelings, you're having trouble. Come on, faith goes beyond any of these things. Come on. Faith takes a hold of Him. I like the illustration of Jacob. He said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." And he was in trouble. He was in trouble. I mean, maybe you don't feel he was, but here he is on the mount there, and he's wrestling with this angel. And his brother's down here in the valley waiting on him. He's going to kill him. Isn't that right? I mean, he'd done his brother all kind of wrongs, but man, he's not going to turn loose of him. Even in the worst conditions. Sometimes our worst conditions is the greatest times of blessing to know the relationship and fellowship that we're talking about. And yet, all the time, what are we trying to do? Escape them. Right? Lord, take this away. All you need to do is experience God. That's the thing. And the other thing will, the other situation, it will eventually disappear. Right? Your today's are not your tomorrows. Glory? I think sometimes we think they are, and it burdens us down, and we get down in a hole, kind of, to where we do not really see who we are. We do not see our relationship with Him and our oneness with Him. It's like the disciples in the boat. He's in the boat, but they say, "Well, you must not love us. You're asleep up there, and we're getting ready to die in this storm." How can they die? How can the boat sink when God is aboard? All right, take the reality of it in our lives. If we really are under His direction, under His leadership, a lot of times we're going ahead. We're doing things that we think are pleasing to Him. Nothing you do separate from Him is pleasing to Him. Faith connects you to, connects me to Him. Faith is the only thing that pleases Him. Faith is the only thing that can move past my works and move in His life. Glory. That's hard. It's hard to get past our natural minds and our feelings and our experiences and all of these other things. But that's what faith does. Faith rejoices in a hope, and you make that hope reality. Now, there is one hope. We're hoping and looking to that blessed hope when He shall come. But there's a lot of hopes along the line. Faith possesses because He is the reality. And that's why He said, you know, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, "Be removed." And we laugh at that and think, well, I've never seen no mountains move. And you never will with that kind of faith. It's the one that believes God, that steps on out there where the impossible is and does not look at the feelings. I don't care how bad they come, but you start to glorify God in the midst of it. Let me go back and repeat myself tonight, because to me it is still a tremendous revealing of God, found there in the fourth chapter of Romans, where Abraham received strength when he's 100 years old to. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times we think, well, you know, God did all of this. Yes, God did it all. But you'll find out that He used Abraham. You'll find out also that Abraham had relationships with Sarah. He, by faith, had enough energy at 100, passed everything that was supposed to be, Faith mounted up and did what? Gave him the ability. Not only that, but faith gave Sarah, it quickened Sarah's womb. Where at an age where she could not bear children, there was a reality in it. She did. Now you say, well, that's Abraham and that's Sarah. Let me just say this to you. We're not talking about bearing children right now. We're talking about everything else along the lines. That was the situation of a promise. And it's a wonderful experience of what they experienced. But it tells us something. That when they got down to where they were helpless, hopeless, man, they raised up and in faith, strength came into Abraham.
Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to Jesus.
When you think strength's going to come in to you, in your situation, when you rise up in faith in what God, in your personal relationship with Him, has said to you. Abraham's moving on what God had already said to him in a personal encounter. And if we're not having a personal encounter with God, then we're not really trusting in His provisions. We're part of the family. Come on, I mean, he has given everything. He has given His only begotten Son. Sometimes these words, they just roll off of us like water off a duck's back rather than really realizing that this great love, and that's why I go back to that scripture when He says, you know, Father, make them one as we are one, that the world might know that Thou hast sent me, that you love them as you love me. You can't conceive that. And I don't believe the majority of us appropriate that He loves us the same as He loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? That's why we don't see the working out. God wants to work. Jesus even said, greater things than these shall you do because I go to my Father. Another place there where He was speaking to him, He says, I no longer call you servants but friends. Why was that? Because whatever was in his heart, he's going to reveal it. The servant doesn't know the things of the master, but a friend does. Part of the family of God, we know, we should know. That is, if we are going on to experience what we're talking about here tonight in this relationship with God. Listen to it again. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit Himself bearing witness with our spirit. Here's what we're looking for in this relationship. We're looking for the bearing witness. Do we know what it means for the Spirit to bear witness with our spirit? Are we looking for feelings, or are we looking for the bearing of witness? Bearing of witness supersedes feelings. Do we know what it is? Because unless we know God, we don't know what that is. But that's what He's telling us. It is the Spirit Himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if you don't know who you are, then you'll not come to your Heavenly Father as a son. Oh, you're thinking that you're a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner. And it was by grace that you got saved. But you're no longer a sinner. You're a child of God. Everything is brand new. This is a brand new creation. This is not part of the old. You're not what you were before. This is a brand new working. One new man. He brings us to where we have access to the Father by the one Spirit. We can have fellowship. We can come and we can ask. We can be what God wants us to be as far as appropriation of all that He is. We can be ambassadors for Christ. All that He is can be dispensed through us. Glory. I know we're not talking over your head. I think sometimes we don't appropriate it. But beloved, I encourage you tonight to take time and recognize in your relationship with God who you are. Start to meditate. What has God given you as far as privileges? What is He working in you as a son? What has He entrusted to you as a son? What is your inheritance? Does it have value to you? He said, ask anything. Sometimes we're so lazy, we go along and we don't even ask. We're down in the ditch and don't even ask God to get us out of the ditch. You know that? I don't want to worry God with these things, these small things. It's not a small thing if it's got you down in the ditch. You know what I mean by that.
In the hole.
It got you down in the hole, got you depressed. You haven't cried out to Him. Because He's within. If you'll stop in your relationship with God in any place and start to realize that Christ has come within. Acknowledge that. Because we get tired of that and we think it's just a kind of a mind thing. It's not. And He's come to abide within. And if you don't have that witness within you, then you can have. See, a lot of times I'm not having the same experience with you as none of us are having the same experience as each other. God is a personal God and He allows each one of us to experience Him.
Amen.
As we respond to Him. We're always looking for somebody else's experience. We're looking to be like somebody else. Man, we're sons. We're all different. We all have grace and He's put us all into body. We're all one. Made out of the same material. Or we're the same essence as He is. And we should be given forth the same fragrance as He does. That heavenly fragrance. That fragrance of all that He is. The love of God. Because this is what He came to reveal. And this is, we see this has been manifested in the saints of old, in different localities, you'll see because they were with Christ, they were called Christians. How is that known? Because they loved the brethren. They loved the brethren. This love of God that He has placed within us ties us together. It's not like human love. And yet, don't discount our human affections. Because God, in His infinite wisdom, doesn't remove your affection because He uses them. He doesn't cause you to be devoid of emotions. He uses your emotions. Come on. We do not know God by our emotions. But you're not devoid of emotions. And unless you understand this, because I know a lot of people that, well, they think that when they get emotional, that they've entered into the flesh. If you're trusting in your emotions, you have. But you have emotions. God made you with emotions. And He wants you to express your worship and thanksgiving through your emotions. What if you didn't have emotions? How could you express yourself? Just remove your emotions and see what you got. Huh? You couldn't even hate the devil. Because hate is an emotion too, you know. A lot of these things hinder us. And that's why I say we have to come to an understanding. I'm not going to be able to give you an understanding. God's going to have to give you an understanding in these areas to where you realize these areas and how they can work in a proper way through you. Now, if you're looking to your mind, you're looking to your emotions, separate from Him, lead you astray every time. But now, some of us, we take a hold of that and say, well, my emotions are no good. They must be evil. Not so. Mine, it's not evil either, when it's connected to Him. But we need, there needs to be a what? A change, right, in the spirit of our mind. Huh? The way we think about things. It's got to be brought from the lower plane to a higher plane. We've got to think in the realm of God and in what He has done. Because if we're not thinking there, I'll guarantee you, faith will not mount up. We will not be persistent. Noah was persistent. How long did it take him to build that ark? Anybody know?
130,
huh? Ever how long it took him to build it? He was persistent. And he built that ark because God spoke to him. What did he do? It saved his family. And there was a brand new working that started from there. I mean, as far as mankind, as far as everything, he brought in a pair of each animal there was on the face of the earth. He saved eight. Faith, which obeyed. Now the question is where we're going to obey. And you're not going to obey outside of that relationship with God, because you need to be motivated. And the only thing that can motivate you is a personal relationship with God. A lot of times we depend upon each other. Oh, can't you help me? Can't you comfort me? Now, don't take me wrong. God has designed a special place for each one of us as far as fellowship and relationship. But nobody can take the place of Jesus.
Amen.
Nobody.
Amen.
When he's in his rightful place, then our fellowship and relationship will be in his rightful place. Lord, that's what we talked about last week, at least a few minutes there at the end. Because a lot of times we get scared of different things. We're afraid. You don't have to be afraid in love. Love is pure. Relationship. Relationship in God. God's working to bring us into the family of God and allow us to be functional together. We can function by ourselves, but to function together, that's another thing. Right? That takes God. It takes God in you and God in me. Most groups tonight, they have a board of directors and they meet and decide what they're going to do. They never meet with the head. They're not connected to the head. They know nothing of what it means to have a witness within themselves. He is not in control. Now, we're not here to criticize it. We're just saying that's the difference in what we're talking about. The relationship with God is going to put each one of us active, alive in God. We're able to give and bear witness to what He is doing. And thus, as we enter on into fellowship with one another, it's going to be a help and an encouragement to one another, but it's going to be the life of God moving through us. It's going to be the love of God being shown. It's going to be the wisdom of God that's revealed. It's not going to be anything that comes from you. Nothing comes from you. It all comes from Him. He is the source of life in you. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son has not life. We're talking about a different degree, a different magnitude of life. And it seems so far out, seems so far out of our reach, yet it's right there. The simplest child that we're talking about can respond to this great working in relationship with God. So I trust tonight as we look at this here and the personal relationship, it will encourage each one of us, because it's not just taking time. It's a personal relationship. People can take time and still not have a personal relationship. Mm-hmm. They can have a devotional time, no personal relationship. Mm-hmm. This is a personal contact with the living Christ that lives within. Okay? Mm-hmm. This is union. Because we're not going to obey, because we will not know what to obey unless we're in this relationship with God. We're not going to come together and agree what we're going to do. He is going to take and direct us, and we're going to respond to Him, and then we will see it accomplished and manifested because we are responding to Him on a personal basis. Impossible, you say. That with God is not. Because it's Christ in you. Christ in each one of us. Can he not bring us to the same expression that he wants? Can we not know what it means as far as the spirit of sonship that brings us into the family of God? Makes us joint heirs with him? That allows us to be loved as he is loved by the Heavenly Father? I know your natural mind can't even conceive it. Can it? Mine can't. But yet, revelation of the Spirit of God tells us it's ours. It is ours now. All he asks you to do is to move in it. Respond. Get to know him. Sometimes we move as children at the beginning. Just don't be ashamed of that. Come on, let's grow. But we're going to have to come on. We're going to have to realize that it's the Lord. And in a relationship with God, we will know this. Outside of this relationship, then we'll try everything else. We'll try, everything will revert back to one thing, law. What I can do for God. It will all revert back to there. When you're in grace, you know that you can do nothing. And you're not just taking and complaining about it. You're not just taking and making excuses for yourself. But you know you can do nothing separate from him. But then you go on to say, as Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In other words, the power that worketh in him mightily. Glory.
Amen.
Relationship. Personal. I still would provoke you in love to sit down and put these terms into your own words. And write them down. What does it mean, that personal relationship to you? You know, not that that's going to do it, but it gives you a time to think. And if we can't think in God, how are we going to hear him? Because he said the new covenant is what? I will write my law in your, where? In your mind and in your heart. How much are we missing that God is actually doing? How many people I've heard say, well, I thought that was just me. And God's trying to knock at your door all the time. He's long-suffering. He just continues to work on our behalf. God works out of love. He doesn't work out of who you are and what you deserve. He moves on love, not what you have done. That's why we hear the expression, when we were yet sinners, he died for us. Nothing we did. Nothing we can do. All right. This has got to be the basis in our movement. It's out of that relationship with God. As he motivates us, because you're not going to obey, and yes, you're motivated to obey. Because it's going to cost you everything. Obedience costs you everything. What did obedience cost Noah? What did obedience cost Moses? It separates. Obedience separates. And you're not going to obey unless you're in a relationship with God. Because God is actually taken in new birth. It brought us from one kingdom into another kingdom. And that's what he said to Nicodemus, wasn't it? He said, unless you're born again, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. We pass over that so lightly. Lord, I want to see. You got to be born again. When you're born again, you see. You may not see it all, but you see. And you know. You experience. When you're born again of the Spirit of God, you are going to experience all that God is. Glory. You got anything you can't contain?
I thought of that this week about personal relationship. Just that term.
Yeah.
You don't find it in the scripture. You don't find the words. And sometimes we hear it so much. You already said it here tonight, but we hear it And we think a relationship is praying and going to church and doing certain things. But as I considered it this week, I said a personal relationship is that oneness. Right? That's what the relationship is. It's a spiritual relationship. And a lot of times in our thinking, we brought it down to where it's some other, we have a new definition for it in our behavior. But God has called us into a oneness. And that is that relationship where he wants us to live and walk and live out of.
But everything you see in there tells us that there is a personal relationship, even though the word is not used. The personal relationship is not used.
Yes.
Because, see, we have emphasized that because relationship no longer has a pureness of meaning. So we add personal. But relationship should have been enough.
Right.
And that is mentioned. Right?
And then we add spiritual.
And then we add spiritual.
It's a relationship in the spirit.
All we're doing is trying to define this thing to where we narrow it down to where God has it so that we can enter into it or try to get others to enter into it. But I still think that these areas are good to look at. I think to wait on God before God and let God break upon our hearts with understanding in them is definitely going to be beneficial to us.
Amen. Good, brother. Very good. I heard something this evening, you know, that somebody told me, said, when you die, you're going to have to go and get collections to bury you. I said, no, you get some to bury you. But as far as I am, Jesus take care of me. Hey, looking out of the eyes of God and see like he's seeing, and that thing is sweet. To trust in Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. As you go on down and hear the breaking down of these things, man, it's a joy to walk with the King. I tell you that.
Amen.
It's sweet.
You don't worry about dying, do you?
I said, no, how, if that be the case, how can it be precious in His sight, the death of His saints? That just throw it out clean, what He has said. But now, if you come down to a place, he'll take care of you. And he calls you to walk in his ways.
Amen.
If you walk in his ways and see what he's doing for you. I say, the one thing I'm going to have, one thing to do, I have a charge to keep, I have to love him with all my heart.
Mm.
I say, even have to lay down on the ground in submission to him, to tell him thanks for what he has done for me, to deliver my soul from death and my feet from down there in all out in that mire. I will do it to tell him thanks and gratitude for what he has done for me. And it's the same thing here tonight. And you come down and you see all of these things, just like you have said. That's why I struggled a little bit, because it sweeped me down in this soul box here.
Amen.
You can enjoy God. You see where he's going. You see where he's leading you. You see where he had brought you, and go back and you stir up the old past of those men of God, those patriarchs. Man, if I could just walk one time in their footsteps, I would feeling good and feel happy just to know that one time, because they, the monument of the memories and of the life and the history that they have laid down there, we can do nothing to it, just to rejoice in the Lord. And thank him for what he has done for us. Bringing us into a place to where we can hear the voice of God and to hear it distinctly. Just like Ezra read that law, said, you read it distinctly, that everybody will read it. When you hear him, man, he settled that peace down inside of here. Oh, you can talk about it. It's a wonderful thing, brother. We thank God. Many times you don't even know what we have. We don't know what we have. Praise God for And as you take tonight and illustrate, brother, I am thankful. I'm going to have to ask you, but please, if I could have a tape of this, and if I can get it to circulate around to a few fellows that are struggling, and sometimes they get discouraged. I believe this will wake them up and sell them something. Amen. I'm very thankful, very, very thankful for it. Very thankful.
By grace, we'll get you a tank.
Amen. Amen. Thank God.